This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Matthew Staver. He is the chairman of Liberty Council and also the dean of the Liberty University School of Law. Mr. Staver has also been very active in the debate over the definition of marriage and was actually one of the leading counsels defending the traditional definition of marriage in California back in 2008 when state Supreme Court struck it down. Of course, later that year, voters got behind Proposition 8, which added an amendment to the state constitution defining marriage as the union of just one man and one woman. However, last week, a federal judge in California, Vaughn Walker, declared that law unconstitutional, and today has ruled, in fact, that he will not even stay that decision while the case proceeds through other higher levels of the federal judiciary system, and instead, gay marriage will once again be allowed to proceed in the Golden State starting on August 18th. And Matt, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you. My pleasure to be with you.
What do you make of the judge's decision today not to stay this decision any longer than really just a handful of days?
It's absolutely outrageous. This is a classic example of individualism and judicial activism by Judge Vaughn Walker. This case clearly should have been stayed. It begs to be stayed. If you go back in 2008 when the California Supreme Court struck down a different proposition, Proposition 22, passed in 2000, it caused a lot of disruption. We asked them to stay that particular decision. They didn't. It caused disruption. People got same-sex marriage licenses. Then the people of California passed Proposition 8, the marriage amendment, a few months later, and stopped that process. That's, in fact, I think, what will happen here. If this is not stayed, then people would get same-sex marriage licenses, and then the case gets reversed on appeal, and Proposition 8 is upheld. Then what do you do with the people that had these marriage licenses? It just makes absolutely no sense. That's why I think today's decision really illustrates this judge is an individual rogue judicial activist, and that's why he's making these decisions. It just makes common sense to stay the decision, let the appeal progress, don't disrupt the long-standing status quo, and allow same-sex marriages to happen while this case is up on appeal.
Matt, is there a general standard by which judges follow when it comes to whether or not to stay a decision, or are there special facts in this case that you believe make staying this decision especially vital?
Well, I think there are special facts. First of all, we already have the history of this problem in 2008 where the court didn't stay it, and then there was a problem that ultimately occurred. But here you have a long-standing status quo, marriage in all the other states, and marriage from the history of the inception of California. Now, what problem is it going to be to simply stay the decision and then wait for the final outcome on appeal? But what problem does it cause if you don't stay it and you weigh those factors together? It's pretty obvious. You don't stay the decision. It goes up on appeal. It gets reversed. Then you have this complete disruption, radical discontinuity with longstanding history that you've got to literally deal with and pick up the pieces later. This judge is someone who is predetermined to push same-sex marriage down the throats of every Californian and then from there to the rest of the country. And this is a classic example, like I said, of individual rogue activity of a judicial activist.
We're talking with Matt Staver of Liberty Council and the Liberty University School of Law. And Matt, how long do you suspect this process might take before we eventually get a decision? Most people think from the U.S. Supreme Court. Last time, of course, it was about 6 months or so between the Supreme Court decision in California and Prop 8 passing. How long could it be between August 18th and whenever this finally gets resolved?
Well, I think what may happen between now and August 18th is there'll be an emergency appeal to the Ninth Circuit asking the Ninth Circuit to issue a stay pending the appeal. And I am hopeful and optimistic that that, in fact, will happen. And then when the Ninth Circuit finally reviews the merits of the case, if they uphold Proposition 8 as constitutional, which I think they should and most likely will, the Supreme Court may not even take this case. There would be no reason to do so. But if they strike it down, then it's almost a no-brainer. The Supreme Court will take this case. And at that point in time, it's going to be, I think, a vote between the different liberal and conservative groups of people up on the Supreme Court, with Kennedy being potentially the swing vote. But that process, if it went to all the way to the United States Supreme Court, would probably be a case decided by June of 2012.
And Matt, in terms of the Ninth Circuit, you seem pretty confident that they would side with your argument on this case. This is known as the most liberal appellate court in the nation. What gives you confidence that they would, in fact, rule in your direction?
Well, certainly it depends upon the original panel, but even if you have three judges that don't do the right thing, you can also ask for the full panel of judges to decide this case. You have to understand that there's been a lot of same-sex marriage cases in the country. We've defended 45 since 2004. We've only lost one, and that was the California Supreme Court, which was later reversed on appeal, reversed by the people with the constitutional amendment. Other than that, we've won every single one. And if you go back to the history of America, the first challenge was back in the mid-1970s, only a few between then and 2004. And not a single one is ever found for same-sex marriage. So this judge is really sitting out in an island by himself. And even the most radical judges, and there's a few of those that are that radical on the Ninth Circuit, would have a hard time finding that there is no debate, no rationality to the fact of marriage being the union of one man and one woman as the preferable unit of marriage. And there's a lot of literature, there's a lot of research, there's a lot of common sense issues that are involved in this that come to play. And for this judge to conclude that there's absolutely no rationality, meaning that there's not even a debatable argument for having marriage as one man and one woman, is an extremely radical decision indeed.
Matt, just a couple minutes left here, and one of the things that was very interesting about this case in the first place is that this judge basically declared something that the voters made part of the Constitution of the state unconstitutional. How does that work? Are ballot initiatives that are proposed to be constitutional amendments screened for any sort of constitutionality before they get put on the ballot, or is this generally part of the legal and court review of anything that gets put on the ballot as an amendment?
Well, here's what happened. After the case was after the proposition was ultimately passed in November of 2008, the California Supreme Court eventually got the case, and that was looking at state law and procedure. Was that proper? And they said, yes, it was. This particular challenge is a separate and new challenge under the federal constitution in the federal courts. That had not been litigated in the previous one. So what this case has done is say that under the U.S. Constitution, that the state constitution is unconstitutional. That's what the difference is. And in fact, the Supreme Court already has a precedent where they've indicated that there is no constitutional right to same-sex marriage in the U.S. Constitution. So this judge really went out on a limb.
Matt, we'll be following it, and we'll be checking back in with you as developments occur. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Matthew Staver is the founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. He's also the dean of the Liberty University School of Law in Lynchburg, Virginia. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.